but Fitzy had years on him. Fitzy's boot split his lip and sent one of his lower canines spinning, lost in the mud. The blood was too much, and Fitzy had gotten tired of being spattered every time he closed. At last, he sent Britton to the hospital in disgust.
Ugh. Get that hole plugged up and get your ass back here.
Sir, there's a physiomancer in the sass. Let me see her.
Negative, novice. Your authorized hours in the sass are over for the day. And I don't need to be breaking protocol just to preserve your good looks. The United States government is interested in your performance, not your charisma. You will go directly to the cache, then immediately report back here. And if I find out you went anywhere else in between, there will be hell to pay.
Colored canvas partitions, suspended by strong lines, snaking through steel grommets, divided the massive hospital tent. Shadows played off the fabric, giving a funhouse cast to the rows of steel cots, medical electronics, and shelving. Navy corpsmen bustled back and forth between white-coated army doctors. Britton moved down a double row of makeshift beds, where the more badly wounded drowsed in drug-induced slumber. Shadows writhed from behind a partition under a sign reading, Trauma. Other signs hung throughout the tent. Burn unit, surgery, radiology. Britton searched until he found one that read, Dental unit. The sign to the dental unit directed him straight through, but Britton stopped short. Marty stood near the tent exit, a steel test tube tray brimming with stoppered tubes half filled with yellow-green urine in both hands. The two stared at one another before Marty turned to one of the other goblin orderlies and passed him the tray. The goblins surrounding Marty bowed in unison, deeply, backing slightly away. Marty reached out and touched Britton's face, his rough hands surprisingly gentle.
Come.
He took Britton's hand and led him the way he had come. They pushed out a side entrance over and into another tent with a sign reading, Research Special Projects. A wave of cold hit Britton as they pushed through the tent's clear plastic flaps. Beyond was an entry room with a beat-up but comfortable-looking couch in front of a battered desk, atop which sat a television. A doughy 40-ish captain sprawled on the couch, his fingers bright orange from a bag of cheese puffs. He paused at the intrusion, scowling as he wiped his hands on his rumpled uniform and stood. His name tape, stained with food, read, Hayes. His lapel pin showed the physiomancer's heart and cross.
What the hell are you doing in here?
He stopped short at the sight of Britton's Shadow Coven uniform.
You face him.
If he needs attention, he can go back to the check-in desk and put his name on the list. He's hardly sustained a life-threatening injury. Indige aren't supposed to be in here. You get the hell out of here right now before I call the MPs. I'm in the middle of important work.
Fix him.
I told you to get the hell out.
The healer advanced on Marty, reaching out a hand. Britton grabbed the captain's forearm.
Don't.
Hayes jerked out of Britton's grasp.
Fix him, or goblins stop work again.
We'll fire you and throw you out. You can try your luck with the Defender Tribes. They'll kill you for working for us.
You get more goblins for work. Easy, yes?
The captain paused, fat cheeks quivering, before rolling his eyes again, reaching forward and placing a thick hand on Britton's face. The man's skin stank of sweat and cheese puffs. Britton had to force himself to keep from pulling away as the magic did its work. The healer only kept his hand there for an instant before pulling it away, but the pain was still intense. Britton touched his face. His fingertips told him the lip had been healed only partially. He could feel a notch in the flesh as it slid over the stub of a reformed tooth.
Now, get the hell out of here before I call the MPs!
Hayes drew the partition shut, but not before Britton saw the room behind it. The cold emanated from a small industrial chiller, cooling the space enough to make the captain's breath mist. Stretched out before him were more rows of metal hospital cots, covered with goblin corpses in various states of dissection. A few held other creatures. Britton saw several he couldn't recognize, but spotted two demon horses, one missing its hooves and tail. Across from it was a smaller version of the bird he'd gated into the convenience store lot, nailed upright to some kind of frame. Its throat was tacked open, an empty gray hole. Two tables had been pushed together to support a giant gray snake, a large portion of the scales sliced out of its back, leaving a black patch beneath. The partition fell, cutting off his vision.
Christ, what the hell are they doing in there?
Screech.
It was a moment before Britton realized he had tried to say research.
On goblins? On the indigenous population?
Britton looked again at Marty, noting his drawn brows, his half-lidded eyes. He looked exhausted and sadly resigned.
How the hell can he work for an army that does that to his own people?
He didn't even finish my lip.
Fixed, okay. No more troubles.
They re-entered the main hospital tent, and Marty collected his sample tray from one of the orderlies and turned back to Britain. He fixed his mask back over his face with his free hand, small and meek as ever.
Fixed, okay. Fitzy is asshole. Sorry.
Now that he had seen the deference with which the other goblins treated Marty, he could no longer miss it. In tiny ways, the distance they kept from him, how they inclined their heads as they passed, he noticed the difference in rank.
You're an important guy, aren't you?
So, we no work if I say.
Britton nodded, then placed a hand on the creature's shoulder. The other goblin orderlies stiffened at the gesture, but when Marty put his hand on Britton's, they relaxed.
Thank you. You've been better to me than any of my own people since I got here, Marty. That means a lot to me.
Same. Oh, what the babies. You, me, Dr. Captain, Fitzy.
Fitzy is asshole.
Yes, yes. But water baby too. Follow. I show you.
Britton followed him. They turned down another narrow aisle to a smaller attached tent under the sign reading Burn Unit. The room was more crowded than the rest of the hospital, with nurses and orderlies squeezing between beds pushed so tightly together that there was little room for the tables piled with equipment. Marty made his way to a bed where a young man lay asleep under a thin blanket.
That's Linko, right? The guy who got tagged by Indirect the first night we met.
You save him.
No, Marty. Come on, you saved him.
Soldier's anger. Not what me. You save him.
Marty pulled back the blanket to show the specialist's legs and hips, covered with hairless skin, pink and shiny under the light.
He's a fixed burn, but Linko now sick underneath. Healer not help that.
An infection?
Sick. Maybe he live. I see every day.
Britton looked back to Linko, watching his face, seeming even younger in sleep.
Marty, you're the fucking man, you know that? You're amazing.
You fixed my work. Bye-bye.
Marty turned away, one gnarled brown figure among many, carrying his specimen tray out of the tent, around a corner, and out of sight.
Whispering is as deceptive a term as I've ever heard. Hammering is more like it. How about will crushing, or better yet, mind control? Let's call this thing what it really is. You are taking a creature, stripping it of its free will, and overriding it with your own. You are making it a slave. We've outlawed that among humans. It's high time we did it with animals too. Arnold Dishart, Vice President, People for the Moral Treatment of Animals, PMTA.
Swift avoided Britton the next morning, but Britton caught him casting furtive glances his way. Wavesign continued to work on his magic with no appreciable results. Britton took it upon himself to join Therese, trying to talk him down from the emotional surges that were too strong for even the dampener to manage properly. Only Britton and Therese were willing to withstand the soakings anyone working with him had to endure when his magic went wrong. While working with Britton, Wavesign lost control of his vapor cloud and generated a small river, which flowed around him, soaking Therese, Britton, Swift, and Pyre to the ankles.
Fucking A, man! It's cold enough out here already! Gah!
Pyre smacked him hard in the back of the head.
You touch him again, and wet feet are gonna be the least of your problems.
Maybe all this babying him doesn't help, you ever think of that? Maybe what he needs is a firm hand.
Look around, you genius. He's in a prison. A military prison. That a firm enough hand for you?
Problem, gentlemen?
No problem.
Salamander nodded and moved off.
Why do you put up with that?
Whatever. It's not... It's... I can understand where he's coming from. It's annoying.
Sure, but that doesn't mean you deserve to be treated like that. You've got to stand up for yourself.
Are you okay?
It's fine.
We've been at this for a while. What do you think is holding you back?
It's like I'm in a circle. The magic comes to my feelings, you know? It comes when I'm sad. So, what do you do when you're sad all the time?
I guess you have to think about what's making you sad and try to make peace with it.
I appreciate your help, you know?
You're helping me, too. In a lot of ways, I'm lucky. I manifested as an adult and a trained soldier at that. I have a lot of advantages you don't. Watching you deal with all that
teaches me how it's really done.
Talk to us, Ted. What makes you sad?
When I came up latent, my brother hauled me into the woods and kicked me around pretty bad. Told me not to come home. Cops picked me up walking along the road. I like it here, honestly. It's better than what I had, but still.
It's not a family, is it?
My folks weren't nice. My mom died when I was too young to remember, and my dad took a strap to me most times. My brother was just doing what he knew they always wanted.
He got rid of you.
What he didn't do was lock you in your room and call the SOC.
So?
So, maybe, deep down somewhere, he wanted to protect you.
Maybe.
Even with everything your family did to you, it's okay to miss them.
Not them. My grandma and my cousins. My friends at school. Not them.
Peapod walked over, her excruciating discomfort apparent in her shifting stance.
Pyre's sorry. You're a good guy and you didn't deserve that.
She looked over her shoulder at Pyre, who made eye contact with Wavesign and nodded curtly.
You're still part of the crew.
Ready for another try?
Later, as Britain and Therese took a break, leaning against the front of one of the Quonset huts, Britain decided to take the plunge.
So, Therese, do you remember asking me earlier why I didn't try to use my gates to escape?
Because you have a bomb in your chest.
How the hell did you know that?
Swift isn't exactly reticent. Everybody knows. He's already asked me if I could get it out.
It took Britain a moment before he could speak, but Therese shook her head.
I'm sorry, Oscar. I'm getting there, but there's a big difference between closing a bullet hole and moving something out of a heart ventricle while keeping the thing beating. I'd probably kill you at this point. I need time to get better. I need practice.
How much time do you think?
Healing gashes or knitting veins isn't too tough, but the complicated organs, the heart, the brain, they're tricky. If your muscle doesn't function for a moment, or if a vein has a bulge in it, that's not the end of the world. Not so with your heart.
So it could be a while.
A long while. I'm sorry. I don't get a lot of practice in here.
They've got a cache to raise. I'm sure they could use your help in there.
I'd have to raise the flag, Oscar.
She'd have to be willing to be the SOC's instrument. She's not. Are you?
Britain looked up to see Scylla making her exercise round again. She paced toward him confidently, her guards towing behind, giving her a wide berth.
Good morning.
What do you want?
That's unkind. I've just wished you joy of the day and you treat me as someone who would do you harm.
You're a murderer. Everybody knows what you did.
Am I? These men on the walls have slaughtered goblins by the score. Tracked down so-called selfers for the crime of being born with an ability they didn't ask for. I killed my mortal enemies, who deprive me of freedom and dignity. Can I help it that the weapons I have at hand are more powerful than theirs? How can you murder soldiers? They're paid to kill their enemies and to be killed by them.
What do you know about soldiering?
I didn't ask the SOC to chase me down and capture me. I didn't write the unjust laws, and I had no say in their implementation. I defended my rights and my freedom, as Americans have done since this nation's founding. Who can blame me for that? I'm not dropping bombs on schoolyards and hospitals like your army did in the old War on Terror. I kill my enemies same as you do. You're a gifted physiomancer. Perhaps knitting flesh has made you averse to tearing it. I understand that, and it speaks well of you. I only hope you will consider that sometimes, in war, bloodshed is justified. I take no joy in killing, Therese. Try, if you can, to think better of me.
Coven 4 sat in the OC. Britain cradled a head that felt the size of a bowling ball and weighed twice as much. He clutched a bag of ice over his left eye, swollen shut by one of Fitzy's expert strokes. The officers were beginning to accept the idea of a newly reconstituted Shadow Covens frequenting the establishment. While they gave the group a wide berth, they didn't evacuate the premises. Richards had summoned one of the abundant rats on the fob to perch on his shoulder, where it worked diligently, building an impressive cowlick out of his curly red hair.
It'll be okay. Marty'll get off in a few and meet us here. He'll fix you up.
Dear God, it feels like somebody put a spike in my eye. Stop being such a baby. You're Shadow Coven now. Baddest of the bad and all that, right? Have a drink and suck it up.
Aren't we not supposed to hang out with Marty?
I guess, but I've never seen Fitzy come in here. It's not our fault if Marty decides to come in on his own, right?
Hey, regs are regs.
Regs are guidelines. People bend them all the time. I don't think I ever drove a car a day in my life without speeding, and that's probably true for 90% of the drivers out there.
I never did.
That's because you aren't old enough to drive. Besides, you saw Harlequin stick up for him before. Harlequin outranks Fitzy.
I am so old enough to drive.
Fitzy is a real piece of work. I better get this Mac down fast, or I swear he's gonna kill me.
Mac? Damn! My training is just a lot of boring chemistry. It is kicking my ass, but not in the same way as you, it seems.
How does that work for Ascension Elemental Conjuration?
I guess they want me to make elemental fuel quickly. Most of what they're teaching me is
pyrotechnics.
Yeah, how to make fire out of nothing.
That's better than what they got me doing. I'm whispering worms. Big, fat, purple things. Like maggots on steroids, except they prefer live flesh. They're native here. They burrow into you, eat muscle, and lay eggs into fibers. Well, they'll do it anywhere, but they prefer muscle tissue. Apparently, we lost a soldier or two to them. But under whispering, they're the most effective surgeons we have. They prefer unhealthy but still living tissue, apparently. They love tumors. You just have to keep them from laying their eggs and setting up house, and you're good to go.
Ugh, that ain't right.
What ain't right is your being here. I mean, I know you have to be, and I know you want to be. But it sucks that we live in a world where a teenage girl spends her adolescence in the army instead of getting drunk and running up her dad's phone bill.
I ran. That's what happens when you run. You had to take me down.
Did you think I liked that? Did you think any of my team did? Hell, half of us were ready to turn around and pack it in. You're just a kid, Sarah. You deserve better than this.
I am not just a kid. That's what everyone says, and it's just BS you pull to try to make yourself feel smarter. I am a sorcerer.
Okay. You're right, Sarah. I'm sorry.
I've probably done just as much fighting as you have.
Richards isn't even a true probe. He taught himself to whisper while serving in the SOC as a terramantic engineer.
What'd you expect? I spent all my time building berms and ditches. If I had to shore up one more foundation, I think I would have shot myself. Chatting with the wildlife saved my sanity.
You told me you didn't run, right?
I called the SOC the second I realized what was going on.
And I got caught in the act and was given an offer I couldn't refuse. Looks like you two are runners.
But only one of us has a bomb ticking away inside his chest.
A moment later, Marty entered and climbed on an empty bar stool to run his fingers over Britton's face. The rough pads of his fingers felt cool, soothing.
Fitziest asshole!
The creature reached into his scrubs and produced the worn leather pouch. He took out a pair of broad leaves, licked their backs, and stuck them over the largest swellings. The bruises began to feel better the moment the plant touched his face. Even his headache subsided slightly.
Damn, Marty. Why do all your remedies involve spit?
The goblin didn't reply, gently pressing the leaves down to make sure they stuck.
We're really not supposed to be hanging out with him.
You know, these people don't love you. Why do you think we're contractors? If we're the good guys, why doesn't the army acknowledge us?
Because we're probes.
And they're willing to destroy our lives because of it. We're the same, Sarah.
No, we're not the same. I know that I did something wrong. I want to make it right. I want to serve my country.
What did you do wrong? You woke up one morning with a power you didn't ask for. You decided that you might want to take a second to play with it before someone else stepped in and told you how to run your life. That's your big crime?
I killed people. I damaged property.
That's Harlequin talking. I might as well gate over to his office and have him lecture me.
You leave him alone. He took care of me. He gave me a second chance.
Oh, come off it. Your magic gave you a second chance. You're here for the same reason I am. The SOC wants your magic. If either one of us had gone Selfer in a more common school, we'd probably be dead. Now we get to be government slaves instead.
I am not a slave. I'm a sorcerer.
It's okay. We're all in the same coven.
Downer ignored him and held Britton's eyes.
The SOC can force me to work with them, but they can't stop me from making her grow up. But not tonight. I'm gonna hit the rack. Lots of studying to do for tomorrow.
Britton had started to make his way to P Block when a hand touched his elbow. He looked down into Marty's black eyes, surrounded with painted dots. Britton reached out to touch the creature's head, then jerked back his hand. Would Marty take it as patronizing? What was it he had seen them do? Britton closed his eyes and bowed, tapping the lids. Marty smiled broadly, then repeated the gesture.
You important. Special.
Yeah. People keep telling me that. It's not helping any. God, what a fucked up life this has turned out to.
Britton looked back down at the creature. His eyes widened.
Holy shit.
He suddenly realized that there might be a way out of this after all. Marty stared back at him, the blue surgical mask dangling from one ear, flapping in the wind.
Have you ever heard of a flesh-eating worm?
Worm?
It's a worm from here. It eats muscle.
Worm! I know. Worm. Very few. Very important. Some in switch room. Cold room with Dr. Captain, remember?
Yes.
Why?
Marty, there's a bomb in my heart. You understand? A bomb?
You captured?
Yes.
Worm very hurt you. Kill you.
Not with magic, Marty. Not with someone to whisper it. Maybe it can break the bomb. Do you have a goblin buddy who can whisper, Marty? Please tell me you do.
I know I am important. I bring friend with magic for worm. Talk worm. No, kill you. Eat bomb.
Can you help me?
Marty was silent for a moment, then looked back up to Britton and nodded.
Secret.
Can you get a worm? Do you have someone to whisper it?
Difficult.
Can you get one for me?
You important.
Britton smiled, then tapped his lids again. Marty repeated the gesture, then pointed to the leaves plastered to his face.
Keep on. When you no feel, take off. Keep on to sleep. It's okay.
The potential of combat necromancy is staggering. Your buddy goes down next to you. Then 5 seconds later, you're fighting his corpse. But you know what? Blinding lasers also provide combat overmatch. So do bioweapons. Just because a system provides a force multiplier doesn't mean we ignore the ethical ramifications of employing that system. We're the good guys. The second we forget that, we cease to be a nation we can be proud to fight for. LTG Amelia Dernwood, Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Materiel Command, 5th Annual Conference on Magic and Military Ethics, Geneva, Switzerland.
Therese was missing from the knot of SAS enrollees gathered around the schoolhouse as Britton entered the next morning. He strolled toward them, noting the pillbox's closed door and Scylla's absence from the yard.
Where's Therese?
Downer shrugged her shoulders, and Britton turned to wave sign.
Did she raise the flag?
A couple of soldiers came and got her this morning. No idea where she went, and Salamander won't tell us.
Britton looked up at Swift as they were being ushered into the schoolhouse, and the pale man shook his head. Britton couldn't concentrate on the morning's video, a longish civics lesson extolling the virtues of the U.S. Constitution. As soon as the video ended and they turned to head outside, he approached Salamander.
Sir, where's Therese?
You're about the 10th person to ask me that question today, novice. She's an awfully popular gal around here. I recommend that you attend to your training and think a little less about dating. You can always chat with Scylla the next time she does her rounds at the exercise yard. I've noticed you two like to chew the fat.